Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Tonight's reading comes from 2 Corinthians 4:16 through to 5, verse 10. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And then chapter 5, awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
There I was thinking that the PM service would be the small one, you know, nice and relaxed, intimate. Well, that's a bit out. But no, thank you for being here, and it is a pleasure to be here with you tonight. My name is Sandon. My microphone is peaking. Is that good? Yep. And I'm married to the lovely Amelia. I don't know where she's sitting. And GBC has been my church for the last year. And since that time, I have got to know a lot of people and made a lot of good friends here. And during the last month or so, Mark approached me and asked if I wanted to participate in this series. And when he asked me, I took some time to think about whether I wanted to say yes, and if I did say yes, what I would talk on. And I landed on this passage, 2 Corinthians 4:16 through to 5:10, for two reasons. The first reason is that in my faith and my walk as a follower of Jesus, I've had one encounter with grief and suffering that has stood above the rest. And in this time encounter with grief and suffering, I was forced to basically reconcile how I understood grief and suffering from the perspective of faith. And the second reason that I chose this passage is that I think grief and suffering is something that we can all relate to. It's something that, whether directly in your life or in the lives of those around you, is common to our human experience. And so my hope for this message is that what God has taught me and is continuing to teach me might be of benefit to you, whether it be in your own life or those around you. And that as I work through this passage, that God will speak to you and might offer encouragement and wisdom to whatever grief or suffering you are going through. And this fan is really great. So what I'm going to do is, thank you, Mark. Thank you, thanks. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna work through this passage focusing on three key ideas as I do so. And as I work through these ideas, which are perseverance, outwardly and inwardly, and glory, I'm also going to reflect on how these ideas have influenced my experience or encounter with grief and suffering. But before I kind of do that, I'm going to give us a little bit of context as to where Paul kicks us off in chapter 4, verse 16. So if you open your Bibles with me to chapter 4, 16, we can see that Paul writes this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Immediately, we can see that Paul is picking up on this idea of perseverance, isn't he? But to start a sentence with the word therefore is a direction for us as the readers to take a step back and see what the foundation is that has been laid for the point that Paul is making in verse 16. So if we do that and turn back to verse 13, we see the following. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So what's happening here in verses 13 to 15 is that Paul is identifying two key things that God has been doing in him. The first is that Paul has had a deep renewal of his faith as a result of a very close encounter with death. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 to 9, we see that Paul has a very close encounter with death. It reads, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Now, where Paul picks up on this is in verse 13, when he says, since we have that same spirit of faith. What he is referencing in that sentence is actually Psalm 116, where the psalmist is also delivered from the hands of death by God. So that's the first thing. The second thing that Paul is talking about that God has been doing in him is that he has inspired a great passion in Paul for the glory of God. Verse 15, all this is for your benefit so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. So why is Paul talking about this? Well, Paul is saying this because Paul draws his strength to persevere from the understanding of what God is doing in him. And so Paul says this in his personal life to then go on in verse 16 to appeal to the wider church of Corinth and all believers to say, therefore, we do not lose heart. Perseverance in times of suffering flows from the understanding of what God is doing in us. And I'm going to come back to this idea of what God is doing in us shortly. But before I do that, now that we have that context, I want to take you back to 2019 in my life. In 2019, I was 20. I would say I'd been a Christian for my whole life. I had had experiences and encounters with grief and suffering at that point, but none that had really shook my faith or the foundation of my faith. I'd lost my teta, my mum's mum, and some friends, but these were not experiences that had really shook me. And that changed in 2019 when my uncle Pete was diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer. Now, when this happened, it kind of threw our family just around for a spin. We were all reeling a little bit. My Uncle Pete was 40 at the time, very, very young to receive such a diagnosis. And it was a time of confusion, of anxiety, of anger. And this kind of forced me to come to terms with how I understood grief and suffering in a way that I had never been forced to before. It had never felt so close to home. And I think in this time, myself and my family were operating on the assumption that we would be the ones providing the support to Pete. We would be the ones building him up. But as much as we tried to, and we did our best, more often than not, it was Pete who was building us up. Pete who was encouraging us, and Pete who was holding us up in this time, just as much as we were holding him up. And I think the reason that he was able to do this is because the same reason that Paul is calling the Corinthians to persevere in verse 16. Pete was able to persevere through great suffering outwardly because of what he understood God was doing in him inwardly. And so this brings us to the idea of outwardly and inwardly. Often we might tend to judge what God is doing in someone's life by what we see on the outside or on the external. But Paul flips this on its head. By outwardly, Paul is talking about in verse 16, though outwardly we are wasting away, he's talking about the fact that we exist in our bodies on this earth, both of which are temporary and will pass away. And by inwardly, when he's saying, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day, Paul is talking about the fact that we also exist eternally through our souls, which as followers of Jesus have been saved and that we are bound for eternity with him. And so it's this we should focus on, not focusing on what is seen, but what is unseen. So in verse 16, when Paul talks about being renewed day by day, he's not simply referring to our inner lives being refreshed or repaired. You might think of it like sleeping, like, you know, you fall asleep each night and you wake up the next day and you feel refreshed and repaired and then you go to sleep again and so on and so on. It's not like that. Rather, what it is that God is creating within our inner nature a new person out of the old, so that when it is finished, it will be completely new. Notice that if this is the case, then it is by faith and not by sight that we understand this process. Chapter 5, verse 7. I think this is something that Pete always seemed to understand. For many, the idea of decay and rapid physical decline can be can cause anxiety, depression, spiraling. It can throw a whole world off kilter. But for Pete, it wasn't. As time wore on and he continued to undergo treatment, receiving chemotherapy, radiotherapy, multiple surgeries to battle this cancer, he maintained an assuredness that whatever the outcome, he was holding on to something of much more weight, something far greater than the sufferings he was going through. So when I mentioned earlier about perseverance flowing from an understanding of what God is doing in us, this is what God is doing in us. This process of restoration and sanctification is what he is doing. Although we belong to this outward age in conscious awareness of our mortality, we also belong inwardly to the eternal age that is to come, which will never waste away. Therefore, we must use this to persevere as we face struggles and remind us of the eternal glory that awaits us. This idea of being fully restored and made new is continued in chapter 5. If you read with me, we see this use of architectural imagery. Paul is contrasting our current temporary and groaning earthly tent with a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Now, there's something so profound about the use of biblical imagery in the Bible, isn't there? Take Matthew 7 for an example, the wise man who builds his house on the rock versus the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Jesus being the cornerstone of the church, even this series on this rock. And I think that it speaks to us because a house built on a firm foundation gives a sense of permanence and an ability to weather the storm. And I think that in the face of outwardly suffering, this is something that we yearn for, is it not? Paul picks up on this in chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, I know that on the first reading, it's a little bit of a confusing passage. There's a lot of clothing and unclothing and all sorts of stuff going on. But simply, commentary points to the fact that Paul is saying, when he's talking about being unclothed, he's talking about death. Probably because he's had a very close encounter with death himself in the very recent past. So we see that despite Paul's willingness to persevere because of the understanding of what God is doing in him, he still yearns for Jesus to return before he has to die. Jesus returning is when he talks about being swallowed up by life. And so I remember certain conversations with Pete, and sometimes just being in his presence and sensing a deep weariness in him. I could feel Pete groaning, as Paul talks about, as his body continued to suffer and decay. I think it would be foolish of me to stand up here and say that although the passage characterizing our suffering as light and temporary doesn't mean that in the moment our suffering can feel so, so heavy. And in fact, I would go so far to say that this is an entirely wrong interpretation of this passage. Look at our Lord Jesus. John 11:35, Jesus finds out that Lazarus, his very good friend, has passed away. And it's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:38, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Jesus does not dismiss our suffering as meaningless. He feels it with us. And he's so moved by it that his soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. In each and every one of our lives, he knows our suffering and he empathizes with us. If suffering that feels this heavy in the moment will be revealed on the final day to be light and momentary, that paints a pretty incredible picture of what is to come, doesn't it? In the last weeks of Pete's life, when we knew that he didn't have much time left, I wrote him a song. And I think partly for me, it was a process of grieving. But equally, it was also my attempt to encourage Pete of what I imagined heaven to be like. And I remember I sat by his bed in the hospital and I played him the song. And I finished the song and I looked up and I held his hand and I could see that there were tears in his eyes. And whilst these were tears of sadness, because he could see my grief and the grief of his family and friends around him, as well as the fact that he knew that he would probably be saying goodbye to us very soon, they were also tears of joy. Tears of joy for the glory which awaited him. But what is glory? Well, John 1:18, God displays his glory for all to see in the sun by day and the moon and the stars by night. In other parts of the Bible, we see that he revealed his glory to his servant Moses and through the miracles and death and resurrection of Jesus. Glory belongs to God alone, yet through his love and for his purposes, he imparts his glory to his people. 2 Corinthians 4:6, through the gospel, God shines his light on our hearts. And 3 Corinthians 18, from that point, the Spirit progressively intensifies the glory within the believer's life. A commentator named Calvin wrote that the decay is visible, but the renovation is invisible. So we can infer from this passage that as the human frame approaches disintegration, the finishing touches are being applied to the new creation. At death, the scaffolding of our outer frame will be removed and a new building from God will be revealed. Not built by human hands, eternal in heaven. So in the last couple of weeks of Pete's life, he was in palliative care in the hospital. And my dad was there, Mark, one night with Pete, and they were the only two people in the room. And my dad said to Pete, "Mate, it must be hard when everyone else goes home." And Pete looked at my dad and he said, "Mark, every night I feel God wrap his arms around me." On the 1st of October 2022, Pete breathed his final breath. He battled cancer for 4 years and had finally lost. Pete's memorial service was really sad. I cried a lot of tears that day and many in the days to come. But just like that night in the hospital when I was holding Pete's hand, these were not just tears of sadness, they were also tears of joy. Joy because I knew that Pete was now in heaven with our Father with a new body. His earthly tent cast off, his sufferings made light and temporary. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, God's glory, imparted to us through the gospel and progressively intensified in our lives by the Spirit, is our true purpose and eternal reward. For Paul and for Jesus, suffering and glory are not separate, but they come together. When Paul says our troubles are achieving us this glory, he's not insinuating that our sufferings are inherently good works or virtuous in themselves. Rather, he's saying that our suffering causes us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Troubles remind us that this age is not what we look to. Instead, we look inwardly to our place in the age to come. When Pete was alive, and after his death, I remember having conversations with men who he was friends with in the local community, both Christians and non-Christians. And I will never cease to be blown away by the impact that Pete had on these men's lives. And I think that the reason that Pete had this impact is that outwardly he was facing such suffering, yet inwardly he was able to love and to minister and to stand by so many people who were also going through struggles. And we know that this is because of Pete's inwardly renewal that was happening day by day. But to these men, it caused them to stop and to think and to contemplate, how is this man doing this? Outwardly, they could see a man suffering greatly, yet here he was with a light inside of him that could not be contained, spilling out and over into the lives around him. Like Paul, Pete was taking our tendency to judge what God might be doing in someone's life externally and flipping it on its head. And if I reflect on my own faith in this time, although it was a time that I've grieved more than I've ever grieved, although it was a time where I was angry and confused, it was also a time where I turned to God more than I ever had, where I longed for his peace and his comfort more than I ever had. So not only can suffering lead us to turn our eyes to God and what he is doing in us, but God's work within us in times of suffering can extend outwards to turn the hearts of those around us to focus on him. So Pete was a great model to me of what Paul and ultimately Jesus have modeled to us. And Pete is now in eternal dwelling with the Father, but I'm still here. We're still here. So what does this mean for us? Well, whilst we wait for the completion of this age we are living in, eagerly awaiting for Jesus to return, we are called clearly not to lose heart. We are called to focus not on what is seen, but what is unseen, to allow the Spirit to progressively renew us each day as we persevere together in the name of Jesus. I'm going to invite the band up, and as I do, I'm going to pray for us, so please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you that your Spirit is here because of the Son. We thank you that you sent Jesus to die for us so that we might be in relationship with you, and that in each of our hearts and each of our lives, you are making us more and more like you each day, so that one day when either we pass away, or if Jesus returns, when we will be made new and perfect in your Son. So we ask that we would remember this in times of suffering and in grief, that we would persevere from an understanding of knowing what God is doing in us despite outward suffering. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.